Blog Talk Radio.
HuntsvilleBlack.com. That's HuntsvilleBlack.com.
Church. Their mission is to preserve and protect the practices of their ancestors and to share the love of Christ with all people. In the 4 years since Chris has met Jesus, his life has changed. His life was changed in an instant. Jesus has shown Chris a world he never knew existed. He showed him that this earth is not our home, that his purpose for the earth was to create children for his pure enjoyment of watching them live in perfect love, just as he shares between the Father, Son, and Spirit that is him. There were others that are full of selfish pride that hate the children of God and what he created, and God himself, just because his love and made themselves God's enemy. They used deception to lure God's first two children out of the protection of their father's light, and infected them with the same selfish nature that had overtaken the enemy. So we human beings inherited spiritual darkness through the selfish nature. We are capable of love and a conditional love that, unlike the everlasting, undying love of God, is pure and true. Mr. Rushing, you there? Hey, how's it going? Good morning.
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm just was going over the summary here. Could you tell us a little bit more about the Inner Light Native American Church of Alabama?
Yes, I can. I noticed that you read the statement from our paperwork that's incorporated into Blount County, Alabama, and that is a church that I started, I believe, about 4 years ago now through Alabama, and now back in March, we became a part of the Oklava Native American Church that's based out of Utah. It's the Oklava Lakota Sioux Native American Church. And we are now a federally recognized Native American church, and our new name is Oklava Native American Church of Inner Light. And we're the only branch of this church that's in Alabama that we're aware of. And I don't believe that the main branch, they would have told me if there was any others. So I wanted to make that clear because I've had people ask me that question about if we're affiliated with the Porch Creek or any other federally recognized tribe in the state, and we are not. We are we stand alone.
Okay, that's great. Sometimes you have to stand alone, just like the previous rally we both attended. What was your take on the rally? I take it that's probably not your first one, but it was my first, and I was very impressed.
I thought that it went really well. I would like, of course, to see more of an outcome of people show up, but when you do these things during the week, that's kind of hard, obviously, as we all know, with work and everything. But I feel like that people stood up and spoke their minds, and we just pray that the right ears are going to hear these things, and we're going to be able to move forward in a strong way.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that happens also, because I took some of the footage that I did for HuntsvilleBlack.com out there, and one of the footage I put on there was the Peter Collins story. And I just looked this morning, and in 10 days since this event, that thing has reached over 16,000 people and has been viewed about 2,400 times. It's been viewed over 2,400 times. So I also put it on Facebook because I want people to go there. I want this thing to go viral because I feel like that there's some elected official that needs to step in. I mean, it's done gone too far. When a person is willing to lay down their life for a country and a state, and then that state turn around and destroy that person's life, we really got something wrong, especially on the basis of cannabis always has been used as religious sacraments and rituals, such as the Native Americans have done, and people all across the world. You know, I know Buddhists, and I think Peter's a Buddhist also, but Buddhists have a long tradition of using these incense and things like that. So I just really hope someone steps in and fix this situation, because he did 6 combat tours, spent all of his adult life, 21 years in the service, and got 6 combat missions, like I said, and 3 degrees. And they're just making it very hard on him, and I just think that is just totally unfair.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's just the same story you hear all over, the way that states use these flowers and these plants and these different substances to gain income. And, when it happens to somebody like one of our soldiers like that, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It doesn't make a lot of sense for it to happen to anybody, but like you said, we think people would stand up and speak out about people, that have, really done a lot for the country. But at the same time, we think that people would stand up and speak out for the the parents that have begged for help for their children or for their other loved ones, whether they're children or not. You know, we talk about the children a lot, and they're very important, but all of these people's lives are important. Whether they have terminal illnesses, you know, whether they have just things that, that bother them on a daily basis that are that the cannabis can give them a better quality of life, you know. It doesn't make sense why we regulate these plants. As a Native American church, we have utilized, you know, these different plants and substances, just anything that Mother Earth gives us over the course of all humanity, you know, the time we've existed. And we don't understand legislation of these natural things. And the only thing that we see is pure corruption of government and the system.
Yeah, and the prison industrial complex benefiting a lot also as well.
Yeah, industrial complex. I've also heard about another one called the military industrial complex, you know, which is you know, a major thing that I've been reading about too, you know. I mean, it's just all together, you know, military, industry, you know, they all seem to work for each other these days, you know.
That's so very true. Like, going back to the spiritual and religious component of this, like I said at the rally, according to Genesis 1 and 29, God gave every seed-bearing plant, green plant, to humans for food and for everything. And so my thing is, how can a man and government take away what God has ordained? And the only answer to that is corruption and is evil.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously the man who makes this law has no God, or at least not the God of the Hebrew Bible and the Christian faith. I mean, that would make you question that, correct? You know, that's been a lot of my problem with this entire system in the South. I grew up here, and I've dealt with this my whole life, and, you know, I don't understand these systems that call themselves Christian based and that they're church goers and that they believe in God, and yet they call things that God, you know, puts on the earth evil. They call God's workers evil. Like you said, it's just the pride and the evil in them, you know, selfishness that it makes them enemies of God. But what I'm tired of is them calling themselves representations of God, you know, and that's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in exposing that. You know, people focus a lot on John 3:16, and I'm real interested in taking people a little further than that in that conversation he had with Nicodemus, you know, and to where we're here to expose the darkness. You know, that's what our job is. You know, we, as followers of Christ, are here to walk in ways in this life that are to be offensive towards the enemy, is what I believe. You know, I believe too many people are too defensive, that it's time for us to get together as true Christians and walk forward with the sword of truth. You know,
especially if the Bible lays out basically the recipe, and that includes cannabis for your religious sacrament, for the oils. It lays it out. And that's another thing. According to man, corrupt men in governments, they're going to tell you that you can't use the recipe that our ancient prophets used and tell us to use in our religious sacraments. Even, I think it might have been James, I could be wrong, but yeah, I think it was James. Well, they commanded if anybody got sick, they were supposed to go to the elders and be rubbed down and anointed with this oil that included cannabis and olive oil and other herbs and spices. Now, that's the biggest affront to religious freedom that I ever seen. And the only reason why they're doing it is because they are evil. They're going to pick and choose what religious sacrificates that you can do. It's basically an infringement upon your religious right.
That's absolutely what it is. As far as the recipe of the holy anointing oil, including cannabis, I haven't done enough research to be able to make that statement myself. I have heard a lot of people talk to me about that. I have had people approach me with that, and I just myself haven't done enough research to be able to claim that I know that to be one of the ingredients. But I don't deny it by any means, and I mean I believe that that it could very well have been used. I've even heard of that it was used to burn at the altar, and that that's what helped the high priest get in tune with God, was inhaling the smoke of the incense of cannabis. And I believe that.
Yeah.
I know from my own personal experience that cannabis is a spiritual plant, and it can put you in places where you can connect with the Creator in ways that you wouldn't see without.
Okay, this
without
is, yeah, I have some information here. This is just something that if anybody wants to go back and look at it, they can go look at the book of Exodus that references holy anointing oil made from cannabis. And then I'm going to read just this two or three sentences to you, and this could be a guideline for anybody who wants to go research this. Holy anointing oil, as described in the original Hebrew version of the recipe in Exodus 30, 22 through 23, contained over 6 pounds of cannabosum, a substance identified by respected etymologists, linguists, anthropologists, botanists, and other researchers as cannabis, extracted into about 6 quarts of olive oil, along with a variety of other fragrant herbs. The ancient anointed ones were literally drenched in this potent mixture. So we have some very well-respected botanists, anthropologists, linguists, and others who says cannabosum is cannabis. So that's a context that people can go on from there and research that. And
okay. We'll definitely do that, for sure.
Yeah. So what I'm looking at is Alabama, especially. Let's take Alabama. I mean, it is astounding how many people they have incarcerated. And like you said, it's not just our veterans. We have teenagers and such, and their lives are ruined. Their family lives are ruined. You're basically putting a hold on that person's life. And like the Peter Collins story, I know people who went to jail, never did nothing in their life, but they went to jail for cannabis and got a felony, and now they can't even vote no more. So that's the biggest thing. So that really, you're not even American no more, because the pride of being American is to be able to affect and change your government and its laws. For a plant, they will forever take that away from you. Then number two,
yeah.
When you get out, it's going to be hard to get a job, at least one that can sustain you. And then three, it's going to be nearly impossible to get housing. They are creating a situation where that person is more than likely going to return. That's why they have a recidivism problem, is because of these petty marijuana offenses, these nonviolent offenses that's really an infringement upon people's personal civil liberties and religious rights.
Yeah, that's right, and that's a major issue, but it's a big funding issue for the state and the county. And I don't know if you heard me tell you that I had Sherry Saunders with me here on, as well. She's one of my the church members, and she is involved in a lot of things that have to do with exactly what you're talking about, whether it's court cases or just dealing with different government organizations and issues.
You can put her on, and she can give us her perspective as well.
Well, she's sitting right here with me for that very purpose. So I wanted to introduce her again, because I didn't know if you heard me in the beginning that was with the music and stuff. But here she is. Here's Sherry.
Hey, how you doing, sir? My name's Sherry Saunders.
I'm doing great.
Hey, that's great. I am the director of the Huntsville Office of Committee to Protect the Homeless. The Committee to Protect the Homeless is a grassroots organization started in Birmingham, Alabama, close to 10 years ago by Rodney Cole and Jerry Levin. The organization sets out to protect the rights of the poor, homeless, and indigent in the state of Alabama. We use contacts, relationships that we have created professionally over 10 years here in Birmingham to make the lives easier for those who can't afford an attorney, those whose rights have been violated for exactly what you are saying. When a person cannot afford an attorney that can protect and or defend their rights in a court of law, they are left with the court-appointed attorney whose only mission is to receive the stipend payment that they receive for representing this person in front of a judge, and it's an easy in, easy out. The person standing before the judge is left to carry the burden of the criminal justice system by becoming one of its wards, and then the federal government will give us money to keep that ward within the state of Alabama's prison system until it's said that that person is rehabilitated, when their only crime to begin with was to take a plant, or to not be able to afford to have a driver's license, or to not be able to afford to have the insurance. We put our people in a situation that they're at a point of no return. If you cannot walk into this world with a pocketbook full of money and a ring of friends that can pull you out of the fire, then you're left to struggle with the accepted cultural roles that we are tasked with. If you are a black man in Birmingham, the chances of you getting a job that a white man is applying for is little to none. If you are in Huntsville, it will be the same. If you're in Coleman, if you're in Montgomery, I'm not saying that race is the answer to everything. What I am saying is simply this. We are left with a society that if you are not put in a position on a pedestal where you are pampered, then you have to struggle for every little thing that you get. Society and culture will be against you in progressing, against you and obtaining things that you feel like you need as a human, as an American. You will only be allowed to stay in the level that the government feels like you need to be in order to be a part of some plan that it has. We have to have enough people in a prison in order for that prison to make money for the state of Alabama. So you have to put people in that jail cell no matter what. You built the jail for that reason. Find somebody to put them in. We have rapists. We have murderers. We have child molesters running rampant. We have cops who feel like it is their right because they have a badge to bash our heads in. Those people deserve a jail cell and let them sit and think of their crimes. But you put a person in a cell that did nothing simply more than take part of a plant that the Lord Jesus Christ said was perfect for us to begin with, and we put them in jail for years so they can help us collect that money that we're then going to turn around and destroy more lives with.
Yeah, and they, like we were saying a minute ago, they do that to get all that money, but they also are creating that situation where that person, they're gonna put them out in a desperate, no win, set up to fail situation, not being able to get a job, not being able to vote to change the law, and not being able to get adequate housing. I mean, that leaves somebody at a very desperate situation, and they're creating a situation where it's just going to repeat and repeat. Now, you said you up there in Huntsville, you deal with the homeless, then you got to know Cleet Whitley.
Yes, sir. I'm very much aware of Mr. Whitley. Yes, sir.
Yeah, he does. He gets homes for the homeless veterans up there in Huntsville. He's got a nonprofit organization called First Stop, I believe it is. Great guy. He had an article. It was in the Huntsville Times or Alabama.com where he talked about Huntsville's actions of just locking them up and forget about them. Y'all are right on the same page. And I thought about him when you you said that.
He's been the director there at First Stop for a little bit over a year. That organization was running into some problems with some complaints on how it was handling its clients. He was put into position to turn that organization around. I wasn't aware that he had created housing for veterans. I would certainly be interested in finding out where that is. But he does have an organization there in Huntsville that does reach out to the homeless population. Now, with that being said, I am tasked in my job to protect the rights of our homeless. So certainly I have been told stories and seen things that have concerned me over anybody and everybody who says that that's their job and they get paid to do so. But, yes, Cleet, he is responsible. And like I said, my job is to protect their rights.
I want to commend you for what you're doing, because I've seen that problem a lot of times as well, and I have experienced it myself too. You know, you couldn't afford an attorney, and then they give you one, and you don't know what you're going to get. He could just be there for the stipend, and rarely you find one that's really concerned about your life. And I met one or two in years and years, I mean decades of dealing with the court system, and I've only met two court-appointed attorneys, one that I had myself and one that I knew somebody else had, that really cared about what happened to you. But like you said, the rest of them I met over these past two decades, that's all they're there for, is that stipend.
That is correct. That is their job. I don't want to say that they got into it in the beginning with that mindset. I want to say that they did want to make a change. They did want to be that Robin Hood, but it turned out that they realized that the game was stacked against them, that the court did not care about the truth. It did not care about justice. That what the court.
And if you can't beat them, they're like, join them. Okay, let me, I hate to cut you off, let me get back to Chris or you. Let's wrap this thing up. We're coming up on the end of the show, but I definitely want to have you guys back because there's a whole lot we can cover.
Absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity to speak, and I appreciate the opportunity.
I appreciate having you.
Yeah, we really appreciate it, Marcus. We would love to get on and have a longer talk like you were talking about. I was going to talk to some more of the church members that are involved heavily in the work that we're doing here in the city of Birmingham and hope to be doing across the entire state and country soon. And
Could you tell us on this last minute, could you tell us how people can get into contact with you, either Facebook or your website?
Absolutely. We don't have a website up yet for our independent branch, but the main branch website is nativeamericanchurches.org. And I can be reached through innerlightnac@yahoo.com or on Facebook. It's Innerlight Oklava Native American Church, and that's OKLEBUEHA, Oklava.
Okay, I'll be talking with you soon, Chris, and we're going to do that longer show. You just let me know when you're ready, and we'll go up to 3 hours.
All right, thank you, Marcus, and I'll be getting in touch with you real soon. Okay, you have a great day.
You too.